welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Cool beans. So today, if you can go to the first slide. Okay. Today we are speaking about wrestling. Okay. So what I want you to do is turn to the person next to you and go, but you need, you must use your tongue. You must use your tongues. Oh, some high fives. That's great stuff right there. It's great stuff right there. You know what? I always used to check youth pastors do this, and I always used to think, yeah, man, that's so freaking weird. Why is this guy doing that? Until I realized how much fun it is. Like, I'm just sitting at home thinking, what's the dumbest thing I can make people do? And then come here, wham. And you get them to pull faces, stick their tongue out. It's a lot of fun. I love it. Okay. So you can go to the first slide. Okay. So I don't know if you guys know, but there's actually in the Bible a guy that wrestled with God. Okay, let's just stop there. Just check that heart on his bum. I mean, seriously, wrestlers, people, WWE, it's just like endless entertainment. That's why you have ETV to watch wrestling. Okay. So the thing is, okay, if you can concentrate not on the bum anymore, especially the ladies, I'm watching you. Okay. So there was a guy in the Bible, okay, his name was Jacob. Okay. And this guy actually wrestled with God. Okay. What's amazing is this guy's story. Sometimes I don't even think we really, like, stop and just think a bit about this guy. Do you know all of us sitting here singing these songs? None of this would have happened the same way, or might not even have happened, if it wasn't for Jacob. One man, a normal man, like me and you, and women as well. Okay, I'm not discriminating here or anything. Okay, but Jacob, his life, the story of his life, has a profound impact even today, and that's thousands of years back. Not millions of billions of trillions, only thousands. Okay. So this guy had actually a massive effect on us now. Now, those of you looking for a name for your child, I will really not recommend Jacob. Okay. Reason being, Jacob means deceiver, supplanter. Okay. So a supplanter is someone, if there's a king ruling, okay, he's the guy that's going to basically, if he takes over that guy's kingdom by some scaly way, he's a supplanter. Okay, so don't call your kid Jacob. I'll definitely not call my kid Jacob. Okay, so Jacob was a deceiver, and he actually led a life where he deceived a lot of people. Okay, so when him and his brother were still in their mother's womb, okay, and they came out, his brother first, his name was Esau, which means hairy. We will call him Yeti in this sermon. Okay, he was really hairy. Okay, Bear Grylls is his big brother. Now that guy, okay, so he went out first. So he was the firstborn. And Jacob, like, oops, was slammed onto his ankle going out. Okay. And what happens at one stage, Jacob was cooking a Malnai stew. Okay, I really want to eat this guy's stew. Because he got his brother to sell his birthright because of his stew. Is this thing still on? It's my first time of this thing. It's a bit weird, so don't worry. Okay, so the thing is, he got his brother, his older brother, he got him to deceive him, okay, to sell his birthright to him. For a bottle of stew. Now, a lot of you here are thinking, what does birthright mean? Does it mean when the fathers die and inherit something? No. What birthright actually means is, Abraham was a man, okay, who God met, and God made a covenant, in other words, he made a deal with Abraham, okay, and he said, Abraham, through you, every nation on this world I will bless. Okay. Have you thought about this? Even us today, we are blessed through Abraham's obedience, Abraham's relationship with God. Okay. That to me is a pretty amazing thing. And this blessing, Abraham had to actually impart it to someone. He imparted it to Isaac, okay? And Isaac had to impart it to his firstborn, okay, which would have been Esau. But then Jacob tricked his father, okay, at one stage. He tricked his father, and he dressed up like a hairy animal and whatever, okay, like Mr. Yeti. And he went and he stole his brother's birthright. His father, Isaac, okay, gave the birthright, the whole promise of God, to Jacob. Okay, this is actually a very profound thing. A lot of you sitting here thinking, what is this going to help me in my test? When I pray later, it will help you. Okay, so eventually, Yeti man is very quiet. Né? He wants to murder Jacob. Okay? Because Jacob did something. He actually cries in front of his father, please bless me, father. I don't know how it works. He asks his father, listen, please bless me. And the next thing is, father tells him, you will save your younger brother. What? I don't really just told my father, you know what, father? You can just keep quiet, give me a kiss. You don't have to say anything, because that's definitely not a blessing. Jacob's father, Esau's father told him, listen, you're going to serve your brother and what. Okay. So eventually, Esau is furious at Jacob, because Jacob stole his birthright. He was the firstborn. He was the one that God's promise was going to go through the whole nations and what. Okay. And he wants to kill Jacob. He's on this place, Jacob is going to kill you. And his mother, okay, Rebecca, she's like freaking out. She's like, listen, I don't want to lose both my sons this day. This can't happen. She tells Jacob, listen, Jacob, I want you to go to my brother, your uncle, Laban. You must get a wife there because they're not the same woman as you. And he goes away in fear of his brother. And actually on the way there, you actually see God starting to speak to Jacob. God having a very profound promise for Jacob. God comes and God visits him. Okay? And in a vision and in a dream, and all of a sudden, angels start coming down stairways. And God starts reaffirming this promise that he had for Abraham. He starts reaffirming the same promise to Jacob after his father gave the blessing. Big thing, eh? Big thing. Jesus came to that family, eh? So it was a big thing. Okay. So he tells Jacob this. And Jacob goes on eventually. Eventually, Jacob is there in Laban city. I don't really know where it is in the Bible. But he's there with his uncle, and he's there to find a wife. Okay. And the first thing he does, he checks this beautiful lady, Rachel. He walks up to her, kisses her, cries in front of her, and she runs away and goes and fetches her father. People, that doesn't work. I've tried it. It doesn't work. Okay. So the thing is, he goes, his uncle is so glad to see him, and he's like, yes, you must just come and stay here with me, okay? He's like, you must just come and stay with me, and he starts staying there with his father, and basically, eventually, he gets a lot of goats. Somehow along the way, he marries the sister after 7 years. Okay, I don't blame the guy for sleeping with her, like 7 years, that guy waited, shame, the poor lad, okay? So, he waited 7 years. Eventually, then he gets the real sister, Rachel, the one he finally actually kissed, the one he really wanted, not the ugly one, okay? And eventually, okay, as time goes by, and for those of you, okay, for those of you who struggle with days of our lives, okay, like you can just admit that, don't put up your hand because we'll tease you, okay? But if you are struggling to get, like, over days of our lives, just go read that part of Genesis. Because seriously, like, this one gets a daughter from this one, and then that doesn't work, and then the maid must come in and give the daughter. It's almost like Days of Our Lives, where the brother sleeps with the sister, who's actually an alien that's been resurrected 200 years ago. I don't know if you watch that stuff. We must really pray for you that after you go through this, you'll be reading Genesis. You'll just be reading Genesis. Okay. So eventually, after all this chaos goes by, okay, at one stage, okay, God tells him, "Listen, Choppy, I want you to go back home." Now this guy must face all his consequences, okay? Because Esau, Hairy Yeti, is waiting there to pitch him, okay? Not he's going to wrestle him, and you don't want to get headlocked in a Hairy Yeti's armpit. I know I don't. I appreciate my nose and all its senses. It's a beautiful gift of God. So the thing is, like, and Jacob knows, okay, he must go back. He must face his consequences. And the amazing thing, we don't even think about it, but Jacob deceiving his brother, everything that happened, like, it still falls into God's plan. Just a thought. Just want to put it there with you. Okay. So eventually, okay, he decides, okay, I'm going to go back to Eriyeti and to my father and to everyone. And he starts heading back. Okay. And Esau, Yeti boy, okay, he gets his herd of other Yetis, okay, and they form a Bear Grylls Naughty Badge Club. And they are going to get Jacob and they're going to kill him. 400 men. Now, Jacob is really wetting himself, yeah. Because now he knows, patata, now I'm going home. People are going to kill me. I have to face all these consequences. And he fears. Okay, and he fears. He's like, God, you must help me. Like, I'm a chopsin, eh? You must help me with this thing. Okay. So what happens, okay, eventually, is at one stage he starts praying and he starts devising this whole plan, and he actually sends, he sends gifts. He sends camels and he sends things like this, and he sends sheep. I don't know if he sends sheep. But okay, he sends animals like that, herd-like animals with feet, okay? And they eventually, they go to his brother and whatever. But at one stage, for me, the amazing part in this whole thing is at one stage, Jacob tells his whole family to go away. Okay? Because now he's struggling with this. God has promised him, God has told him, I want you to go back to the land of your forefathers, where I have this promise, this plan, this thing I want to do. You're part of my story. Okay? God is telling him this. And now he's fearing, what is going to happen with me? Is my brother going to kill me? And this, all of a sudden, I can just imagine this guy, it must be struggling on his inside. He must be working and fighting. And something happens. He actually wrestles with God at one stage. So he tells his family, listen, I just want you to go away. And some of you need to do this. Some of you, you're struggling with stuff. You must go. You must go on your own. Go into solitude. Not forever. Okay? And you must go to a place where you sit down and you struggle with God. Just like Jacob did. So Jacob, when he told his whole family, I want you to go away, he spends a night alone. And while he spends the night alone, a man comes to him. This man being God. Comes and he starts struggling with Jacob the whole night. Okay. So Jacob and him are struggling the whole night, all night. Eventually, Jacob, the man, God, tells him, listen, it's almost daylight, I'm going to go. And Jacob says, before you go, I want you to bless me. Okay, you can actually go to two slides on. So Jacob tells God, he says, before he finishes this thing, he says, God, what's happening now? This is crazy. You have this promise for my life. My brother's going to kill me. And he's probably struggling with God, wrestling with God over everything that's happening. And he says, God, I want you to bless me. And hear what God actually tells him. He says, the man asked, okay, what is your name? And in shock and realization, whispering, he said, Jacob, supplanter, schemer, trickster, swindler. He realizes, man, my whole life, I've been a deceiver. My whole life I've been tricking people. He tricked Laban, he tricked his father, he tricked his brother. Probably he's tricking his wife as well. Okay. So, eventually he said, but you shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, contender with God, for you have contended and have power with God and with men. And have prevailed. God gives him a new identity after that struggle. He says, I'm going to give you a new name. You are no longer deceiver. Okay. You're one that has wrestled with God and prevailed. Go to the next slide. You know, that's something that I find, like wrestling with God, you know, that happens with me a lot. But I also find like, myself wrestling with me. Okay. Sometimes, you know, in a sermon, you have to switch over to Sims for any serious gamers out there. Okay, but I find sometimes I struggle with myself as well. In life, we have this wrestle with God about the things that He wants us to do and the promises that He holds before us and our situations in life. And sometimes I struggle with myself. You know, there's this orphanage I go to. And I go there like almost once a week, like almost for a year. And I can tell you something, I'm never in the mood to go to that place. I'm always thinking to myself, you know what, I've got something better to do. I need to go wash the tiles, watch them dry, you know, think about tomorrow's pottery class. You know, there's always something in your life. It's this constant struggle. When it comes to things of God and what God wants us to do, it's almost as if there's a struggle inside of us. Who have you experienced that? Okay. Yeah, we all experience that. Those of you who haven't experienced that, you're probably not doing anything. Okay. So you can move on to the next thing. And inside of us, it's almost like we have this big, fat guy sitting on a chair that's just like, I don't want you to move. You know? You must sit still tonight. You know? You need to watch series. It will fill your soul. No. Yeah, it's weird, but that happens. I experience it like that. It's almost as if you want to do the right thing, all of these dumb other things, I need to do all of a sudden do this, I need to do that. It's this whole battle within yourself. But what does Jesus say about that? If you go to Luke 9, you can go to the next one. It says, "Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost?" And you know what? I think that scripture, I don't know, but when I read that scripture, all of a sudden I feel my bum eating my onderbroek, you know? Because it's such a challenging thing, and you know why? You know why? If you go to the next slide. The reason is in our culture, you know what we've been taught? We've been taught comfort Jesus, teddy bear Jesus. Jesus that, you know, is just there to keep you safe, you know? That nothing wrong happens with your life, that everything goes hunky-dory. We only pray to this Jesus when someone's in hospital, or when we're driving a lot of kilometers. And I don't know, like, basically, I can't think of another example. Or we do a quick prayer, you know, before we eat, you know, but like very fast. And you make sure, like, you must almost not close your eyes, you know, it must be that fault. Almost an arm friend. Amen, you know. Okay. So, and that's why it's challenging. You know why this thing is so challenging? Because the God we serve and Jesus isn't into that. He isn't into our own comfort. It's very much the opposite. And that is challenging. And you know what I find when I actually go to that orphanage? It's as if I realize where I'm actually at. Because if I have to be honest, I don't really think we know Jesus. It sounds bad when I say it, but I'm not saying you don't have a relationship with him. I'm not saying you're not going to heaven. But if I have to be honest, I don't think we really, really know Jesus. Like in our hearts. Because there's a place where you know him, yeah? And there's a place where you know him, yeah? If you go to the next scripture, John 14, verse 21, it says, "The person who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and will show, reveal, manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him." Because you know what, the first time I go to the orphanage, it's like I'm so amped for it. It's great, it's just so cool, you know, all these kids. Second and third time, not that cool. The fourth time, I'm not really keen. And you know what happens? God shows me my heart. You're not really keen because you don't really love that kid, bro. You were excited about it. It's cool, but you don't really love that kid. And that's the same. Like, I think if we really knew Jesus in our hearts, if we really followed him, he will start revealing himself in an amazing way to us. Because you know what? Every time I come back from an orphanage, it's like I experience God's love like nothing else. As if there's like a pureness in that place when you drive away from them. And that can be whatever. You know what? If you knew how much God loved the people next to you, if that really was a revelation in your heart, if you have to be honest with yourself, you'd act different. What we're living out is the revelation of Christ we've got in our heart. And I honestly don't think we know him yet. But I want to know that Jesus. I don't know about you. Okay. Go to the next slide. And you know what I find? I find life to be like this internal cage match. You know? In the one corner, God is there. In the next corner, the devil is wrestling your head. Gabriel is hitting him with a chair. You know, I can just see this thing unfolding. You know, a bunch of demons, punch him, you know. I can just see it being crazy. And I don't know for you guys, but when life gets serious, sometimes inside my heart, it feels like there's this cage match going on. And I'm so confused. God, where, links, rechts, where must I go? It's just crazy. Okay. And I want to share a story with you guys. Okay. So back in the day, which isn't that long ago, but if you turn 25, you start speaking like this. Okay, so back in the day, okay, I used to play soccer at the one work I used to go work at. Okay, I think that's right English. All of you boys, I must correct me. Okay, proper. You didn't think I would get that one. How did you? Okay, so proper English. So I actually worked at a place, okay, for like 3 or 4 years ago. And I was playing soccer with the whole soccer team, outside soccer team, Praise Jesus, I was the only white guy. It was so much fun. People, I love black people. They love braaiing, but they cook their meat. They really cook their meat. Like hard. They make seker, tokoloshi do it. And they make seker. And he knows. All the white people are like, what? Yeah, you haven't been to a black braai. That's why. Okay. So the thing is, okay, I used to play soccer with them. And because I didn't grow up playing soccer, I wasn't that good at it. But I used to play defender. Okay? And I was one of those crazy guys out there, barely not breaking the law, like kicking guys' ankles at Leviet. They scoop for my luister, you know? So I made sure that guy, you can ishi ball, bah! Thank you for my ball, sonny boy. You know, I actually was a bit failed. You know, I wasn't the best Christian on that field. I'm sorry. Sorry, Jesus. You know, but it was some good times. And they used to love me for it. They used to love me for this wild, crazy white guy just killing. And they would actually shout that to me. I remember when that striker gets past that other defense, kill him, white boy, kill him. They used to scream that to me. Yeah? That was a lot of fun. Okay, and one of the things is, okay, is so I used to be this crazy guy on the field, okay, and some games didn't go that well for our team. Some games were actually like, it was not nice to be on that field. And you know what I actually realized while being on that field, even being as hardcore as I was? In my heart, I came to a place where I almost felt, man, you know, if I could just quit. You know, if I could just get an injury or something, then I could go off the field. You know, I'd still be a hardcore boy, you know. Kill him. I could still be that guy. But at the same time, like, not be in there anymore. I could give up. It was almost, and whenever I would get sore, it was like this great excuse to not be able to play again. Because I worried a lot more what people thought about me than where I was really at, where I really was. Because in my heart, if I have to look at it now, was I really that hardcore? When the going got tough, no, I wasn't. Because I wanted to quit. In my heart, I truly wanted to quit. I liked them to think a lot of stuff about me. But I wanted to quit. And I found it the same with Christianity, to be dead honest. Now this year, people, for those of you who've known me personally, it's been the roughest year of my life. Like seriously. But I praise Jesus for it because, okay, I won't cry. No, I won't cry. But I didn't plan to cry, okay. So what happened is this year was a hectic year for me. And at some stages, I find myself almost like Jacob. Yeah, God is holding this promise before you. Wow. This is what I want to do with your life. It's going to be profound. It's going to touch a lot of people. I'm going to use it. But in the other sense, it's almost as if I longed for that ignorant times, you know. I was thinking back of my days before I was saved. Almost wanting that life again. And it's not actually that life that I want, to be that honest, because that life is empty. But it's the ignorance. Not knowing. And it's as if for months I've been driven by this fear of God. Like fear of what God wants to do with me. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to not do what God wants me to do. That I knew. That was set in my heart because I would regret it for the rest of my life. If I did not follow what God wanted me to do, I would regret it for the rest of my life. I would never have joy. I would never have that fulfillment, that sense of purpose. But it was tough, to be dead honest. And at one stage, I went to go visit my parents. And I remember visiting them. Like, my parents, they aren't very happy that I'm in ministry, to be dead honest. Né? They want me to have the American dream, where you make a lot of money, buy a nice car, and all that stuff. That's what they want for me. And I was actually, that morning, I was telling them, listen, I'm doing what I'm doing because I want to see my life make a difference in this world. But I didn't believe it yet, né? But I told them that. Because they just keep quiet. Because they can talk a lot. You know? So I just told them that. And eventually, after carrying there a long while, I drive home. And on the way home, It's as if I just at that one moment have that same opportunity as almost if the soccer. There's this moment where I can give up, you know. Because I'm driving on the highway 120. It's open, there's no cars, no one will get in danger. So I can just take the car, pow, hit it on the side of the road, and then it's over. It's almost as if I want God to just take me, God, like just send me to heaven now. I don't know if you felt like that, but I think there's a lot of people in here feeling like this. We don't like to talk about it. But thank God I can be humble. Because I want you to know. But we want God to just take us away, because this is too hectic, this life that you want me to live. This place you have. I just want to go to heaven where it's nice. You know? And sitting there, there's this opportunity, because now I can end it. Now I can stop, and no one will know. Everyone will thought just as that guy that gave up everything to follow God. But they won't know what really happened. And it's again that, but what's in my heart? Where am I really at? And something just changed in my heart in that one moment. I told God, you know what? I'm going to do this. My life is going to mean something. I'm not going to quit. My life is going to bear significance. You can go to the next slide. And in that moment, something beautiful happens. Where you start to align, here's God's plan for you. And you can be fighting it. That's where I was, fighting it. But it was hardcore fighting it. But you can come to that place where your will and God's will aligns. That's where He wants you. Where you say, God, what do you want to do? I want to do the same thing, man. Let's do this. Because you and me a team. I'm your son. I'm your boyki. It's a powerful place to reach. And the same happened with Jacob. He said, he gave Jacob a new name. What's your name? Failure. Want to quit. One with shame. One that wants to give up. I don't know, put whatever. What do you want to put in there? Ugly, fat. One that hates. Angry. He says, I'm going to give you a new name. Going to give you a new identity. Because you have wrestled with God. And you have wrestled with man. And you're going to be one that has prevailed. That has prevailed. And a lot of you are sitting here, you're wrestling. I know it. Especially for those of you that are Christians for a while. You're wrestling in your heart. But God says, I want this wrestling to end. Because I want to get you to that place where you align with what I want to do with your life. That I can give you a new name, a new identity. That you become my son, my daughter, not my slave anymore. And you can put whatever that name is there. But you're going to be one who prevailed. A band can actually come up. Please. And if you're sitting here, and that's you, what I would recommend you do is wrestle now with God. Finish this wrestling. In this time of worship, wrestle with God, get your new name, agree, come to that point where you say, God, what you want to do, I want to do it. My life is going to mean something. Because you can have comfort. I promise you people, my parents, and I really love them, I actually don't want to bat them, but my parents, they have a lot of comfort. My dad made it very good in life. But it's a very lonely place when you reach everything that you wanted to reach, but you haven't got Jesus. That's not a place where you want to be. You don't want to be at that place where, like, God isn't your everything, and you want Him to say, like, God, you won't relent until you have everything of me. It's the best place you want to be. If you don't even have a relationship with Jesus, maybe everything I'm saying here is going over your head. But you want to start that life. You want to say, God, use me. Tell a story with my life. Tell your story with my life. Because God's not in it for your comfort. I know a lot of people, they want God, but they want comfort. They don't really want Jesus. They want the Jesus that says, give me your life. But Jesus is looking for people. You know we're living in the end age, né? Jesus is looking for people that He's going to use to do powerful things. All of us, we're just normal people. They're very normal. I promise you, I've spoken on a stage there that my knie amper te mekaar klap. That's how afraid I was. God can use you for so many things at a place where you just say, God, I'm keen. Use me. And you'll see, and something I want to encourage you, you don't believe God is good. God is good in that. You don't think God is good when He takes away comfort. The best thing He can do, people, is take you away from the nonsense you're holding on to. Because the things that you hold on, that PlayStation remote, it's not going to give you life. I promise you that. And God is good in everything. Even when He says, you must follow me and I must be everything. It's the best thing that can happen to you. You just don't see it that way. Because we're so stuck in this world. We're so stuck, so conformed into that comfort, American dream nonsense. So, you guys can all stand if you want to. And just a moment, like I just want to pray for people, especially if you're here and you haven't started a relationship with Christ yet. Like, I just want to encourage you, like everyone just close your eyes. Okay, if you're here and like you've never decided to do that thing, you've never decided, God, I want a real relationship with you, where that actually involves me laying down my life. Because if you haven't made that choice, you're not really in a relationship with Him. You're religious. God doesn't want religious people. He can't use religious people. Religious people just confuse other people about God. He says, you must be altar called or I spit you out. It's hard words, but it's true. So if you haven't even started that relationship with God, like, I just want to just raise your hand. Like, we want to pray with you that you can receive Christ today. Okay. If you're sitting here, there's a lot of people sitting here, you're really wrestling. This word that I brought today is like really hitting your heart. Because you feel at the same place, you actually want to quit. And you feel it's too tough, this thing that God has for you. And you want to give it back to Him. That's not what you want to do. You want to keep following God. So I just want to encourage you in this time. If you want someone to pray for you, you're welcome to raise your hand. But just wrestle with God. Just settle this thing in your heart. God, what you want to do with my life, what I want to do with my life. God is going to give you a new identity and a new name.
Dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. There is no one like you.